Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, excited for you to be here today. And this is a several part series talking about how to increase the return on investment on your current investment portfolio. Right now, as you know, interest rates are going up. A lot of people are asking me, where are the deals to be had right now? And there are deals to be had right now. I am currently chasing those deals. But the other side of the question is are you currently being a great steward of the investments that you currently have in your portfolio? And this is a great time for you to sit back and look at and analyze, am I getting the most return that I can possibly get on the investment I already have in my portfolio? That has been a great steward of your investment. So stay tuned for this series of how to increase the rate of return on your current investments. Welcome back to the Return on Investment series. I hope you've been enjoying them so far, where we've walked through several different scenarios and strategies on how to increase the return on investment on your current investments, your current investment homes. There's two things to look at here. Number one, this is designed in such a way to give you some ideas on how to strategically be a better steward of the assets in your investment portfolio as far as it relates to real estate and increasing that return on investment, but also taking this knowledge into the next acquisition. Because as you know, as a savvy investor, we should always be a great steward of the investments that we have put into our portfolio. And at the same time, we're always on the hunt for the next deal. So welcome back to Savvy Investor. I am Marcus Green, the Savvy Investor, ready to share with you another strategy, one that I think is either often overlooked or one that is abused. And it seems like we kind of fall on both sides of the scenario. And I'm going to give some unique perspective on how to use refinancing in such a way to affect your return on investment and making sure that you're affecting it in such a way that's in alignment with your long-term investment strategy. This is true for all of the strategies that we've been talking about over the last several parts of the series, is what return on investment is appropriate. And the only way to answer that is to get clarity on what your specific investment goals are and where you are in the journey. If you are a younger investor with a long runway in front of you, you could get a little bit more aggressive in your investing strategy and maybe turn properties a little bit more often. If you're more focused on creating long-term passive income, wealth preservation, holding the assets long-term, it's a completely different strategy. The idea here is to get clarity on what are you trying to accomplish and then structure your assets in such a way that are supporting that. So I'm going to give you an example today. I'm actually pulling up to share my screen. A property that I bought and used this exact strategy to put myself in a better position from an ROI standpoint. Now, this was a 4-bedroom rental property that I bought in Arizona several years ago. I actually bought it right at the crash, which a lot of you maybe didn't buy right in the valley of the crash. But even if you bought over the last several years, you've built some equity in the home and the same strategy can be applied. So this home, I originally bought for about $100,000 and put $35,000 into the renovation. And ultimately, by the time I was done ready to rent this property, I was only $36,000 out of pocket, which is an incredible deal. This is not an argument of saying you can or cannot find these types of deals anymore. The strategy is the same, which I'm going to show you how I use that property today. The current value of that property today is $355,000. A year ago, it was $325,000. So we had a 9% appreciation this last year. Now, we know that appreciation affects how it shows up on my balance sheet, but doesn't necessarily affect the amount of cash I had available to work with this week. But it's important for me to track for the effect of return on investment, what the appreciation is per year. You can see below this, and keep in mind, this sheet we've built for you to use to calculate the ongoing return on investment on your current investment properties. You just go through and fill out the yellow tabs here or the yellow blanks. We went through and we added in what's the annual gross revenue this property currently rents for $1,900. We subtract out the expenses and we ultimately come up with our net operating income of $15,705 minus mortgage expense, which before the refinance, my mortgage payment was only $552, which means my before tax cash flow prior to the refinance was $9,000 a year. Now, if you look at that, my cash on cash return, I was getting a significant cash on cash return of 25%, which I know is very hard to hit in this market. However, you look at that, what I'm doing is I want to show you that I made a strategic decision to refinance, increase my leverage on this property, which is going to eat into my profits. But I'm going to show you the effect it actually had on both my cash on cash return and my effective return on investment. So if you could look at this, my cash flow off this property before was $9,073. If you look at my total gain on the property annually, which includes the net operating income or the before tax cash flow plus the appreciation, minus out or add back in the portion of your mortgage payments that went against principal. So you can see that my total gain on this property annually was $40,695. So again, incredible numbers already at a cash on cash return of 25.203% and effective return on investment of $113,000. Well, this is great and a great long-term strategy. However, as a savvy investor, I'm a conservative investor, but I'm also still in the mode of wealth acquisition. So I'm looking at additional deals and I wanted to free up some capital to go take on more opportunity. So in this scenario, we'll come back to this tab in a second, but I rebuilt this based on the refinance that I did. Now, a lot of times, as you know, as a savvy investor, I talk a lot about doing a 70% loan to value ratio, not over leveraging your property. Now, I could have taken more cash out of this pocket, but because I'm also in that long-term game plan, this is a property that I plan to keep in my portfolio for a long time. I didn't do a 70% loan to value. I didn't take more cash out than I needed to do. I still wanted to be conservative in this property to be able to sit and say, okay, I can sleep at night in the event, since I'm holding this long term, that we will go through a couple other ups and downs in the marketplace. So I refinanced this property at $195,000, paying off about, I think if I remember right, we paid off about an $85,000 remaining balance on the previous note. Now notice what this did here is my cash outlay now is actually zero. I put in a one here so that the calculations in the spreadsheet worked correctly, but ultimately now I have zero cash into this property. Property values stay the same. This didn't affect the value of the property. It's currently worth $355,000. I now have a mortgage of $195,000. Rents stay the same, but you can see that it affects my before tax cash flow. And it actually goes down because my mortgage payments are now higher because I've leveraged more money. Now, keep in mind, the $100,000, additional $100,000 that I took out, this did not go buy a new Tesla or a new boat. That $100,000 went to work in a few other properties. And that $100,000 is making me about a 9% cash on cash return right now somewhere else, as opposed to what it was doing inside this property. As equity, it wasn't cash that I had put out. So I wasn't making a cash on cash return on it. I was increasing appreciation. But now that I've taken that money out, I've been able to put it to work and get about a 9% cash on cash return plus the appreciation of the assets it bought. So here we decreased my before tax cash flow by about $4,000. But here's where it gets interesting is my cash on cash return is really at this point infinite. Because I'm $0 in, every dollar that I get back is 100% a return because I have no cash basis into the property. My appreciation is the same. And then here it also changes that my mortgage payment, I'm paying more down on principal because I have a higher mortgage payment. But you can see my total gain on the property now, even after taking out an additional $100,000 on the property, is $37,561 as opposed to the effect I was having on my overall wealth per year off this property at $40,000 before the refinance. It's only about a $4,000 difference, but now I've got an additional $100,000 out to work. So this is a great strategy. You can look here, my effective return on investment also really at this point is infinite because I have zero cash into the property. It's still a good cash flow for me. And we're not getting into it on this video because all of you are very aware still that even though I'm showing a positive cash flow, this is before putting together the P&L and the balance sheet at the end of the year for taxes, which then I can take advantage of depreciation, writing off business expenses and things like that, which offset my other income. But because I took the $100,000 out of this property, stayed conservatively leveraged in this property, I was able to pick up a couple more properties that then only augment my opportunity from a tax structure standpoint to be able to write off more depreciation, write off more business expenses for those additional properties. So if you look at this, even though my overall gain on this property decreased by $4,000, because that $100,000 was used for another investment that was making an 8% or a 9%, nearly a 9% cash on cash return, plus the appreciation on those assets, that strategic move actually moved my net worth statement forward significantly across multiple properties instead of being overly conservative on the one. Now, one thing to consider here, and I've said it before, but I want to make sure you understand that as a savvy investor, I believe in being conservative in this approach as our market is really hot right now. And a lot of markets across the country are hot. Things are appreciating at a very fast pace. You probably have the ability to leverage a significant portion of the equity you have in your home. Do not go down that path until you have clarity on what it is you're trying to accomplish and then really assessing your risk level. In the event that you over leverage a property, I say over leverage in my opinion, but if you leverage at a higher loan to value ratio of the property to take advantage of getting that cash to work, know that in the event that the market shifts, there is a chance that, the market value will decrease lower than what your cost basis is in the property. So something to keep in mind, again, assess your long-term goals, also assess your risk, but this is a great strategy to look at. I encourage you to take the time annually to do this. You can see at the top of the sheet here, I put in 12/31/21, the last day of 2021, which is a few weeks ago. And I do this annually for every property where I say, okay, what was I doing from a return on investment last year? What am I doing this year? How have my rents adjusted? What have my appreciation adjusted? Of my current mortgage payment that I'm paying, how much more is going to principal than the year before? As you know, that adjusts over time. And this way, we're being a great steward of our money, understanding return on investment. And you know what that means to me? It means we're being a great savvy investor. If you missed the other strategies on how to take advantage of or be strategic in increasing your return on investment, don't forget to click through, watch the rest of the series. Also, be sure to follow us and let me know if there's other things that you want to hear from as it relates to the savvy investor. Appreciate your guys' following. Let me know what we can do to help. Also, one of the things that I will mention is if you are interested in refinancing because of the size of our organization and the number of refinances and financing we do have some opportunities to connect you with some of our lender partners that could give you potentially a no-cost loan, $1,000 back on a refinance, which again, makes a lot of sense, particularly when a lot of conversation is going on about increasing interest rates over the next 12, 24 months, multiple times. So this is something that I would recommend looking at sooner than later. Appreciate you guys. Talk soon. Angeletta Nation, this has been another episode of the series on how to increase the rate of return on your current investments. I'm hoping you took great notes. Be sure if you want to watch the video to go to thewholeenchilada.biz. You'll be able to see the video there for any of the screen shares that I did during the conversation. And don't forget to go follow us on social media at The Whole Enchilada. And we're thankful that you're here. And go live life on your terms.